makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Someday, perhaps while we still live, one of the great stories of all time will break in the newspapers of the world. It will read something like this. Scientist discovers cause of colds. But that discovery hasn't yet been made. All we know about the sniffling, sneezing misery known as a common cold is how to prevent and care for it. First, get enough sleep. Eat wisely. Dress warmly. Keep your feet dry. And keep regular. But in keeping regular, be sure you take the right laxative. X-Lax, you know, is not only mild and gentle, but so correctly timed that it won't shock your system. Yet it's completely and thoroughly effective. Pleasant, too, because it tastes just like delicious chocolate. Its mildness, thoroughness, and correct timing are just right for every member of your family. So ask your druggist for a box of X-Lax today. It costs only 10 cents.
For whom was Pennsylvania named? William Penn, a prominent Quaker, has inherited all his father's property as well as his debts. One of the largest debts is a loan to Charles II, King of England, for £16,000. But as usual, the handsome, spendthrift king cannot pay the loan. So one morning, William Penn, in simple Quaker dress, visits the king. The audience chamber is filled with people. Penn has arrived, but the king is late.
Is your king always late, friend?
Always. But why do you call him my king? He is your king, too.
I recognize no king but the Heavenly Father.
I understand. A Quaker, eh?
Yes, friend.
Ah, there comes the king now. In a moment he will enter. Do you know court etiquette?
I have no need to know it.
When the king enters, kneel and be sure to remove your hat.
A Quaker does not remove his hat before anybody.
His Gracious Majesty, King Charles.
Kneel, Mr. Penn, kneel.
I do not kneel to any man.
You may rise. Ah, one remains standing, I see.
Yes, friend.
Well, by all means, let me remove my hat.
What the idea?
That is not necessary, friend. I have not removed mine.
Ah, but Mr. Penn, in this audience chamber, it is the custom for only one to remain covered. Well, well, Mr. Penn, what is your business with me?
My father, Admiral Sir William Penn, loaned you £16,000, did he not?
I do not like to be reminded of it.
I am quite willing to discuss it alone.
The court knows of my insolvent condition, I dare say. Now then, just what do you wish me to do?
Pay it if you can. If you cannot, give me something in place of the money.
What do you want? A title? A castle? What?
I want some land in America.
Land, eh? You wish to form a colony, perhaps?
Yes. I wish to worship as I please, and so do my people.
Then, where do you wish this land?
A tract of woodland north of Maryland. It is a hilly country, but very fertile.
I admired your father, William Penn, although he was not of my religion. I also admire his son. Therefore, I will give you the land you ask, knowing that you and your people will not demand more than is due you.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
And so this charter gives me all right and title to the land?
Yes, William Penn. As you see, I have ordered it to be called Pennsylvania, in honor of your father.
But I had decided to call the country New Wales, because it looks so much like our Welsh landscape.
Secretary, what do you think of calling it New Wales?
I am a Welshman, Your Majesty, and I do not like to think of a Quaker settlement called New Wales.
An excellent reason. Mr. Penn, you see, it'll be quite impossible to call it New Wales. Why not Pennsylvania?
I do not like the vanity of calling it by my own name.
Ah, but that's where you're wrong, Mr. Penn. It is not named after you. It is named for your father. And so, Whether you like it or whether you don't, Pennsylvania it shall be.
Strange as it seems, William Penn did not wish his new country to be called by his name. However, Charles II of England insisted on naming the land Pennsylvania in honor of Penn's father. Penn bought the entire territory for $80,000. What a businessman. The champion of champions. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have an unusual person with us this evening, a champion of champions. Miss Muriel LaVon Goodspeed. Miss Goodspeed has actually won 57 prizes in almost every branch of artistic activity: dancing, writing, piano, singing, and oratory. She is a master of all these. In addition to this, she has won several beauty prizes. Miss Goodspeed, won't you tell us how you happen to become interested in these contests?
Well, I suppose you'd say it was the result of child psychology.
Just what do you mean by that?
My mother is a psychologist. She used to teach in a normal school. I was always underfoot, wanting something to do, and so she encouraged me to enter various contests. She thought it would give me a desire to keep up with practicing my music and dancing. When I'd get tired of practicing, I always had the goal ahead of trying to win a contest.
What was your first contest?
Oh, I won the first prize in 3 Pantages theater contests in Salt Lake City.
In what line?
Well, they were called Radio Junior Talent Contests. Dancing, singing, things like that.
And then, I suppose, one led to another. Is that it?
Yes, of course. I had to keep up with all of my studies, and my teaching took so much time.
Teaching? What kind of teaching?
Well, when I was 12, I opened a dancing school in Salt Lake. I had 2 assistants and nearly 125 students.
Well, how old are you now, Miss Goodspeed?
18.
57 prizes and only 18 years old? That's certainly a good start.
I suppose it is.
You've told us about the first contest. How about the last one you entered?
Oh, that. Well, that one was a beauty contest.
Well, go on. Where was it held?
It was held last summer at the National Chiropractic Convention. I read about in the newspapers how they were holding a contest for the most perfect body. Mother kidded me into joining it just to see what would happen.
Then what did happen?
A lot. There was more competition in that one than in any of the other contests.
Why? Were there so many girls entered in the contest?
200. I felt pretty worried when I saw the beautiful girls I had to compete with.
Apparently, you needn't have worried.
Oh, but I did. And then when the list got narrowed down to about 85, I was so tired and so discouraged by that time that I went home, took off my makeup, and went to bed.
How about the contest?
I'd been home about 45 minutes, and Mother rushed in and told me to hurry back. They were asking for me. Well, I said, Mother, I can't go back like this. I'm all ready for bed. She told me to go anyhow, so I went.
Without any makeup?
I didn't have much time to put any on. I didn't even have my hair up. It was just hanging down over my shoulders. I went in, and I guess they were so amazed that they gave me the first prize before they had time to think.
Well, you've certainly given us a very interesting sidelight on the trials and tribulations of a champion of champions.
I've done the best I could.
Thank you very much, Muriel. And I'm sure the radio audience wishes you as much success in the future as you've had in the past. Strange as it seems, Muriel LaVon Goodspeed, 18 years old, is actually the winner of 57 contests, ranging from beauty through all the arts. This amazing girl still fills her days with studying in an effort to fit herself for her chosen career, operatic singing. The king who is looking for trouble. In Africa, there is a king who declares war once a day. He is monarch of a vast native population in French West Africa, one of the last kings to accept French rule. A fierce black potentate in whose presence no voice may be raised above a whisper. In his enormous mud palace at Ouagadougou, Morho Naba, king of the Mossi, lies asleep. Then at promptly 7 o'clock, a gun is fired outside the palace.
Morhonaba. Morhonaba.
Huh?
Oh, great one. The gun has been fired, oh, noble one.
What, Bamba?
The gun.
What? The gun is fired and no one woke me?
I dared not speak louder, oh, majestic one.
Dared not?
Your order.
Dared not? I live among cowards. Give me my red robe. There's no time to be lost.
Here it is, ready for you to slip on, oh, wonderful one.
And now I want to fight. Give me my shield. Give me my spear.
Here, oh, gracious one. The spear is covered with poison from the fangs of the snake.
Ah, as well. Is my horse ready?
Saddled and bridled in the courtyard, O most wise one.
Good. I will go to the courtyard immediately. Ah, my court is assembled, I see. Yes, yes, that's fine. Yes, yes. Bamba, hold my horse.
The stirrup is ready for your most priceless foot, oh, brave one.
And now I want to make war. I want to fight. I wish to go to land and conquer the enemies of my state.
Oh, sire, order them to unsaddle your horse.
What?
It would be better to go to land tomorrow.
Oh, most unhappy Nabba. Oh, that you were the king of a country of cowards. Oh, most unhappy man. Oh, Bamba. Bamba, how dare you suggest such an action? Down on your knees, all of you, or I will go by myself to fight Lad. Yes, yes.
Tomorrow will be time, O majestic lion. Tomorrow will still be time.
Tomorrow, always tomorrow. No, I want to fight. I want to go to land.
Order them to unsaddle your horse.
No.
Tomorrow is the day.
What?
Tomorrow.
Oh, very well. Oh, mother who bore me. Why did you make me king of such a race of cowards? I who should be ruler of the world. Yes. Well, I have a proclamation to make. Tomorrow, whether it rains or whether the sun shines, I will go to fight Lad. I have spoken.
Strange as it seems, Morhonaba, black potentate of the Mossi tribe in French West Africa, goes through this same ceremony of declaring war every morning. Each time he reluctantly dismounts, meanwhile cursing the cowards who would keep him from his duty.
If you go looking for trouble, the old saying goes, trouble will find you. But with so many troublesome things in this funny old world that are unavoidable, why go looking for more? For instance, when you need a laxative, why take a severe remedy that will shock your system, throw it completely out of rhythm? Why punish your taste with an unpleasant mixture? Strong medicines should never be taken except on the advice of your physician. Now, when you take a laxative like X-Lax, you have none of these disagreeable things to contend with. X-Lax is kind and gentle because it is correctly timed. Yet for all its mildness, it is thorough, effective. It's kind to your taste, too, just like delicious chocolate. So stop at your druggist's and get a box of X-Lax today. It will cost you only 10 cents unless you want the economical family size, and that's a quarter. Be sure to get the genuine, spelled E-X-L-A-X, and refuse to accept a substitute. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and directed by Felix Mills. An oil well that strikes water is a dry hole.